tweet at TodaySOR.
There is an urgent need to tackle obesity stigma and understand the condition as a disease that needs to be treated medically rather than by willpower or New Year's resolutions. That's according to new research on attitudes carried out by the Irish Society for Clinical Nutrition and Metabolism, which found that people with the condition are looked down on as lazy, overindulgent and deserving of what they get, and this prevents effective treatments from being publicly funded. For more on this, I'm joined in studio by Dr. Carol Neff, consultant obesity physician at St Vincent's University Hospital. And also here is John Kane, who is taking part in a drug trial to lose weight. Good morning to you both. Thank you indeed for coming in. Carol, you say there is an urgent need to tackle obesity stigma. What exactly is this stigma?
So, thanks, Sean. The stigma that we're talking about is the perception that people have of people with obesity. So the historical cultural understanding of obesity was that it was a moral failing, that people who have obesity are lazier than the rest of us that don't have obesity, are greedier, make worse choices about their life. When in fact, when we've done the research, we've seen that that's not the case. People with obesity are not more greedy than somebody without obesity. They're not lazier. They're actually just challenged by a biology that makes them more prone to gaining weight and especially helps or resists their attempts to lose weight. So that's what we're really talking about, is this inaccurate understanding of people with obesity that we have.
Yeah, and you talk about, you know, there is this stigma. People are, as you say, looked down on as lazy or overindulgent. So how widespread are these views in society?
Extremely widespread. So the research that we're referring to has been replicated in different settings across the world. So this is not just an Irish phenomenon. This is a global phenomenon where people in general on the street will have a misunderstanding of what obesity is. But even healthcare professionals, a majority of healthcare professionals will also have stigma around obesity, where they misunderstand what obesity is, which is a disease.
But is there no element of personal choice about this where diet and food consumption is concerned?
There is a little, but far less than you'd actually think. Mm. So what we understand about obesity is that it's a combination of genetic and environmental factors. So it's absolutely true to say that if we make worse food choices and choose higher calorie foods or take less exercise, for example, that will predispose towards obesity. But people with or without obesity don't necessarily make completely different food choices. So again, the stigma is if you have obesity, you're eating pizza for breakfast, lunch and dinner, you never get off the couch, you're lazy, you're overindulgent. But in actual fact, most people with obesity have balanced, healthy diets, but they've gained weight gradually over time or during some life event like pregnancy or illness or so on. And they now are biologically impaired in losing that weight. So their biology is stopping them from losing their weight.
John Kane, as I say, you are from Dublin. You're part of, you're taking part in a drug trial to lose weight. Tell me your story about you and obesity.
I'm part of the Strive group headed by Carel LaRue. And it's a clinical program at UCD. And the point about for me is I was 19 stone. I went to a public health program called Pew initially. A woman called O'Neill was really good. And then about a year and a half later, I had lost a stone and a half, put a half stone back on, got a phone call from Vincent's, really didn't think much about it. Three phone calls, and about a month and a half later, I'm sitting in front of Carel LaRue and I'm on the program. And the program consists of a daily injection of something called liraglutide from Novo Nordisk, Herbal Life, which is like a supplement drink, and a strict diet, and an exercise program, which was supervised in MedFit in Blackrock. A fella called Annie Grinnell got it out.
And you've gone from what weight to what weight?
I initially was at 19 stone when I started this journey. I'm now under 15.
Wow. So you've lost what? Four and a half stone over what period of time?
About 18 months.
Okay, well, congratulations on that. Yeah. And do you think that's largely due to the discipline imposed and also the medication, the diet and the exercise?
Absolutely. I think the one thing that I can be sure of is I am fitter, and I mean, I'm dying to get this out to the nation. I'm fitter at 70 than I was at 50. At 50, I was busy.
You don't look 70.
Bigger shirts, bigger suits. My wife would go crazy, didn't give a hoot, just get on with life. And what happened for me was I suddenly realised life is very limited. One day I'm on the couch, I want to try and pick something up from behind. Too difficult, and I stop. I don't bother.
Were you able to tie your shoelaces, for instance?
Just about. If I could get a stairs that gave me two lifts, yeah.
And what about exercise? How far could you walk?
Well, I used to, in my 30s, I was still playing rugby and soccer and football, but basically, as I got older, didn't have the time and didn't do it and then lost the will to do it.
And do you, I mean, like, was there an element of diabetes to that? Or do you believe you had or have a disease?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. I went to the doc and she said to me, your blood pressure's through the, you know, and she's so used to me blabbing her that she just went, I just went, I'll do it with diet. And she took a very firm hand and said, no, you're on this today and you're going to start this up. And that started me on this regime.
Yeah. And John, when you were up around the 19 stone or thereabouts, tell me about what you were eating.
I just, truthfully, I didn't have an on-off switch. And it, I don't drink a lot. It was, maybe it was comfort eating some of it. Mm. But this is my layman's science of this. People like yourself and waifs don't have any problem with eating disorder, eating difficulties.
You speak for yourself now, okay. If you don't mind.
But they all have enough bacteria, which apparently is called GLP. This is a layman's science heresy bit. GLP-1 in their gut sends a message from the gut up through into the hypothalamus, which does loads of things. But my understanding is it has an on-off switch. So people that I know who are slim and my wife and so on, they know when to stop. Mm-hmm. I could keep going forever.
And you were overeating. I mean, like, how big a meal would you have?
Oh, whatever you had, I'd have twice.
Really?
No bother. Yeah. Now, not all the time, but, you know, like, and then sometimes I'd be careful. And I mean, I wasn't entirely stupid, reasonably intelligent, but most of the time just, and if the kids need something, our grandkids need something, I'd eat theirs.
Did you keep eating because you just didn't feel full?
Yeah. Yep.
So you might have two steaks or...
Well, I'd never have two steaks, but I'd have a very big meal compared to other people. And I'd eat it in a quarter of the time. I'd be sitting there going, well...
And what about confectionery? Like, you know, bars of chocolate and that sort.
Bad, but not too bad.
Right. And coming back to yourself, Dr. Carl Neff, how typical would John's story be?
John's story would be fairly typical. I think there's a diversity of obesity. So obesity as a disease has a lot of different phenotypes, a lot of different ways that it can present. So the typical story would be similar to John's, or it would be that somebody noticed that something gradually happened over months or years. So like that, a change in lifestyle. John was explaining how he used to exercise a lot, didn't have time for that. That's when obesity developed. There was a change in his environment. Mm-hmm. Or that for a lot of women, pregnancy is a high risk time for developing obesity. So again, there can be environmental changes that bring out this tendency towards obesity.
And what measurement is used to diagnose obesity?
Obesity is still diagnosed based on body mass index or BMI, which is a function of your height and weight. It's a very crude measurement. So my BMI, for example, is 27. And if people were looking at me in the street, they wouldn't consider me overweight. But that is my
Absolutely
BMI.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So BMI is a crude measurement, but it is the only measurement that we currently have. And it's how obesity has been defined. And obesity is defined as a body mass index of over 30.
Yeah. Is it simply the case that for some people, diet and exercise won't work because of this maybe genetic predisposition and therefore you need these other supports?
Exactly. So obesity as the disease is really a mismatch of energy balance. So your appetite is too high for the weight that you are and your ability to lose calories is too low. Your metabolism gets too low when you go on a diet. So for 10% of people, roughly, a good diet and exercise program that's structured will work. But for 90% of them, it will not work in the long term. They'll either not lose weight at all or lose weight and it comes back.
Yeah, and we hear about these procedures to reduce people's their stomach size and so forth. What about drugs and other treatments that might be available?
Yeah, so the surgeries, as you mentioned, which are about rebalancing appetite and calorie burning. What John is talking about is liraglutide, which is one of the medicines that are available. More medicines are coming online, and there are more medicines currently available. And all of them try to tackle that basic mismatch. So try to regulate appetite better, help you burn calories more effectively and really target where obesity starts as a disease, which is a place called the hypothalamus in the brain.
Yeah. And is it right? Am I correct in saying that, OK, you say it's a crude way of measuring, but something like 25% of Irish people are technically obese?
Yes, that is true.
And another 25%
are
borderline?
At risk. Exactly, yes.
So that's a lot of us. That's nearly half of us.
It is a lot of us. Yeah. And that's the thing. And the problem is that we're ignoring the problem. And obesity is a disease. in itself has lots of problems, but it's associated with other diseases like sleep apnea, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, high blood pressure, heart attack, stroke, etc., and cancer, actually. So obesity is a risk factor for many cancers. And we know that by treating obesity effectively, we also treat those diseases. So what we're doing at the moment is ignoring a developing huge problem affecting nearly half our population at some point in the future.
So this is as much about, if not more, about prevention as it is about cure.
It has to be about both. Yes. It must be about both. We must prevent the disease, but when the disease is present, we must offer treatments.
But put it succinctly, my pre-diabetes is gone. My arthritis is hugely better. My sleep apnea has... got to sleep like, you know, reasonably well now. And for a while, my psoriasis improved. And that's just a few things. So I am the advocate for the HSE for this ongoing program, which I want everybody to have. And I'm in nobody's pocket. I'm just saying it the way I see it. And want everybody to have, because if you can catch people in their 30s and 40s, you won't have them clogging up. I don't mean that like that, but, you know, you won't have them making multiple and various demands on the health system as they get older. And I'm going to age far more healthy as long as I can keep this up.
Yeah. And tell me about, like, before you went on this program, and you clearly believe in it and you've benefited enormously from it, John, did you feel stigmatised, or were you at the receiving end of maybe, were you at the butt of comments?
Yeah, I did, but it wouldn't, I had enough bulge in my, not to worry too much about it. But I'll give you one example about myself. I remember I worked for a couple of IT companies, and one guy, he was the top man for a global IT company, and he used to love me going with him because I wore a trench coat, and I'm only 5'8 and a half. Vanity says 5'9, but I was very rotund and I looked bulky when I pulled up this coat. And in this Mac, he said, "Geez, that's great. You come with me. You look like my security." I'm not trying to, I'm that's genuine. But much more important, it's the, I feel so much, there's a site I'd like to mention. It's called ICP. Obesity.
ICP obesity. Yeah. Right. .ie or .com?
It's a Facebook. I don't do these things, but it's a Facebook site. Okay. And that's where a whole group of people living with obesity provide support and encouragement to each other. And you just, you know, I read their WhatsApp.
You're nearly coming across the desk at me now with the enthusiasm for this, John.
But if you read that WhatsApp, and I don't know enough about Facebook, sorry, God, don't kill me, but I don't know about it there. If you read those things, particularly from the women, Jesus, you'd weep. Some of them won't even get up from the chair to go out to the shops. I want one last thing. I want people who see somebody who's obviously obese, maybe slow to move and everything else, instead of staring at them, give them a smile.
Yeah.
Encourage them.
You've taken on physical challenges yourself. I mean, you've been able to walk distances and places that previously just you wouldn't even have thought about.
Yeah, no, good friends, Adrian and Maureen, walked from Liscannor to the heritage site. Can't think of it.
Cliffs of Moher, Interpretive Centre,
And, you know, walk back again across rocky cliffs, and they were absolutely amazed that I could do it.
What about the funding? I mean, presumably if there's a stigma attached to something, there's no great political pressure to spend money on the medicine, the medication and so forth. What is the situation there as you understand it, Carol?
Yeah, so that's exactly it. I mean, because we have this uninformed notion that if we just got people on the right diet and exercise, they would have proper treatments of their obesity, it's a good way of avoiding the issue, which is that 90% of people will not get sufficient weight loss with diet and exercise alone. So at the moment, there are these drugs licensed for use in Ireland. However, they're not funded through drug payment schemes or medical card schemes, so people have to stump up for themselves.
How expensive are they?
$250 a month for
me. How much?
Yeah. It'll be about $250 a month for me.
Yeah,
I can't afford that.
Yeah, that's the most expensive.
$250 a month.
Of the agents that are available,
And the last thing I'd like to tell you, Sean, is I actually believe when you do this programme, and the rest of the world who would do it with me, the mental health uplift is huge because of all the factors involved.
Yeah, so I mean, there are benefits all around. And look, thank you so much indeed for coming in. Dr. Carol Neff, consultant obesity physician at St. Vincent's Hospital Group. And also my thanks to you, John Kane, 70-year-old and getting younger and lighter and more active from Dublin. We'll take a short break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.